Hey everyone, let's take a look at the continuing discussion of Jesus in Luke 21 about the destruction of Jerusalem. This is in verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led captive among the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So, remember, this is all about the coming judgment of Jerusalem. Jesus is warning his disciples about what's to happen. When we look at what did happen in 70 AD, as a result of several revolts, revolts, by the way, which were led by people like Peter before he became a Christian or before he was a disciple of Jesus, like Barabbas, who was released. Barabbas wasn't a robber exactly. He was an insurrectionist. He was somebody who wanted to begin a military uprising against Rome. And that war broke out in 70. And in 70 AD, during Passover, or a couple days after Passover, the Romans began to besiege Jerusalem. That siege lasted until the summer. So remember, sieges, there's no food, or the food is low, the water is cut off. It was a terrible, terrible siege. There was fighting actually within the city among the various revolting factions. And as a result of this fighting, they destroyed the food supply for the city. So the suffering and the starvation was even worse than it had to be. So this was a very, very difficult time. Keep in mind, too, that it was Passover. So what happens at Passover in Jerusalem? There are thousands upon thousands of pilgrims. So there were more people in the city than normal because they came for Passover, even though there was military conflict going on. And so that made the suffering greater, the casualties that resulted from all of this much greater. And so Jesus, remember, is telling them this to warn his disciples, to warn them what's coming. Now, you think, well, why doesn't he warn everybody? Well, that's what he's been doing in his whole ministry. That's what he's been doing on his whole journey to Jerusalem. He's been proclaiming judgment on the temple, warning the leaders of the temple, warning the leaders of the people, and nobody wants to listen. And so he is telling his disciples, who will listen to him. In fact, that's the definition of a disciple. Listen, guys, don't go into the city when this begins to happen. Don't make the mistake that the people in the days of Jeremiah made, that, oh, we have the temple, God will protect us, we're safe and secure here. Jeremiah made it clear that that was not the case. History made it clear that that was not the case. Some went into the city expecting, oh, we're going to go into the city, we're going to be at the temple, and for that reason, God will deliver us. And Jesus, remember, I said, nope, I'm abandoning this temple. I'm leaving it desolate because it has not borne the fruit I intended it to bear. Remember, all through Luke, Luke has warned about attachment to wealth. Well, that makes a lot of sense for sure in this context, that if you were attached to wealth, particularly if your wealth was in Jerusalem, you might be tempted to go to secure it or protect it or get it. And he says, nope, when you see Jerusalem being besieged, don't go near it or you will be a part of terrible, terrible suffering. Tradition tells us that many Christians actually heeded this warning and escaped. They crossed the Jordan. They went into a region on the other side of the Jordan, actually somewhere close to where Jacob had his wrestling match with God, in a city called Pella. So they did heed the warning and they did get out and they did avoid the terrible, terrible suffering and judgment on the city. Notice too that Jesus says these will be days of vengeance. Why vengeance? Well, this goes all the way back to the Old Testament. We could go, for starters, to Isaiah chapter 61, which is not that old, but it does pick up themes that are all through Scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So that's all good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus quotes the scripture at the beginning of his ministry to say, hey, I'm here to bring deliverance. I'm here to bring the kingdom of God. But in the midst of all that, he's come to also bring vengeance. He's come to also bring about God's wrath against those who resist him, and in particular, wrath against those who have resisted or attacked his bride. What we see in the book of Acts is Jesus has risen. The judgment is not on Jerusalem. But what we do see through most of the book of Acts is the persecution of God's bride, the church. And so in many ways, this is vengeance on those who are persecuting God's bride, Jew and Gentile. When the city fell to the Roman invaders in the summer of 70 AD, it's estimated, we don't know for sure, and this some think this is an exaggeration, but it's estimated that somewhere near 1 million people died. About 100,000 were sold into slavery. And Jerusalem itself was actually totally sort of razed to the ground and redone. The temple was totally destroyed. You can go to Israel today. You can still see stones that were pushed off the Temple Mount that have sat there for 2,000 years after that judgment. And Jerusalem was laid out on a new grid pattern, which was a Roman thing, not a Jewish thing. And so the city of Jerusalem was utterly destroyed and was no longer a Jewish city until, of course, 1948, when Israel was founded as a nation. But the point, again, of all of this is for the disciples to be watchful. Remember all of the parables about watchfulness. They needed to be careful. He actually wanted them to have their lives saved. He wanted them to flee. He didn't want them to suffer martyrdom. And I think that's interesting in and of itself. There are times we see Paul escaping, and there are times we see him facing it. And by and large, Jesus is saying, guys, I want you to get out of the judgment that's coming. The last thing I'll note is that all through here, we hear of Jesus speaking of his coming. I would suggest that all through history, he's come in many ways. I would suggest that in 70 AD, that was in a way his coming to bring an end to the world of the temple. He's come at many points in history, and he's always calling for his people to be watchful for the days when he will allow a judgment to come that may reorder the world that we're a part of and bring about a new world. And so I want to encourage us to be watchful. We are called to be his people who don't know when he may come and don't know how he may come. He may allow historical tumult in a way that, again, reorganizes the world, or it may be his final return, but we're called to be watchful, called to always be on the alert. So may we have our lamps trimmed with the oil of the Holy Spirit, always anticipating the coming of our Lord, because we know he comes to us every day. But may we anticipate his visitation. Amen.